Good morning. It's good to see everyone. What an honor and a privilege to come again and to talk of his goodness, to break bread, to read of his Torah. This Exodus 3 is incredible. But before we get started, we want to say welcome to our family from a distance, Brother Jared and his wife. It's always an honor and a privilege when they show up with that little angel of theirs and get to grace us with their presence. But this after Midrash, it's not going to be a regular Midrash. Brother Jared's going to bring the word after we eat. So we're going to get the word this morning, then we're going to get the food in our belly, then we come back and get some more word. It's going to be incredible. It's powerful. I want to go ahead and read John 10, because when Pastor mentioned just a little bit about how this is Yeshua in John 10, right? He's talking about he's the good shepherd. And we're talking about the shepherd with Moshe and how he, you know, how the Father had to take him to the wilderness. And I like what that song said. The wilderness is not where you're not alone. He's with you in that wilderness. Because in John 10, that good shepherd, because, you know, he made a mention how you got to be, you know, you got to be a friend. You got to be a friend of somebody. And what a friend we have in Yeshua, the best friend in the world. Think of your best friend that you got right now on this earth. And you say, man, that's my best friend. You know, you have a best friend, a living best friend, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like somebody you see every day, talk to, work with, whatever you want to have, you encounter with them. And you get really close. And some friends are closer to you than family members. But listen to what this our friend, our shepherd, is saying in chapter 10 right here of John. Because this is who we're following, right? I want this best friend in my life every day. And we're going to get to our Exodus. We're going to talk about the bush this morning. The fire. Listen, fire equals presence. And I don't want to go nowhere or speak on his behalf without his presence and his fire being in my midst, dwelling inside of me. And neither should us. Neither should any one of us in here. You might not get up here and say it, but if you're around a family member, the fire needs to be in you. His presence needs to be in your midst. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. You might not do it here, but you're doing it somewhere. John 10, truly, truly, I say to you, Yeshua, he who does not enter through the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up by another way, that one is a thief and a robber. Meaning, if anybody else is teaching you what totally opposite of what I'm trying to teach you, or what I've taught, or what my father has taught, don't believe him. What your best friend calls them? Thieves and robbers. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens for him, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought, he calls them by name. What we in? Shemot, book of names. He knows your name. He knows your name. Let that sink in. He knows your name. What, you know what that means when he knows your name? He knows everything about you. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when you're in the fire. He knows when you're in there, but he's there with you. He's in your midst. It can't consume you. If his presence is with you, whatever's going on around you cannot consume you. We've seen that. We're going to see this in this bush. We're going to see that in this bush. This bush was consumed with fire, all burning it up, but it was not consumed. It was all over, but not. It was in this midst. That's the fire I want in my midst. That same fire. Hallelujah. I can have it. We can have it. Amen. But he knows my name. That's intimacy. That's deep. That means he cares about me. And when he has brought out his own sheep, he goes before them. I think that was my favorite part when I read that this morning. When he called me by my name and he's leading me in a direction, he's going before me. Why? Because he's gonna see difficulties, he's gonna see obstacles, And he's going to clear that path for me. If I'm following him, I just got to follow him. But he's leading. He's leading. That's what a good shepherd does. They lead. They lead. They go before you. They go scope out the whole path before you. They're going to see, he's going to see everything that can harm you, anything that's going to hurt you, anything that's going to lift you up or try to tear you down. He's going before you and he's going to see all that. And they shall by no means follow a stranger, but shall flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. What? Yeshua uses this figure of speech, but they did not know what he had been saying to them. Yeshua therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and shall go out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. I have come that they might possess life, and that they might possess it beyond measure. I am the good shepherd." I'm the good shepherd. Yeshua, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Look, and we was mentioned that how that king for his daughter took off his robe and took those 40 lashes for her. A Midrash teaching, you know, somebody's quote on that. But Yeshua did that for me and you. Think about that. My king, that king who came back time and time again, you did it for me. I'm going to lift both hands. Every chance I get, I need to lift both hands, because he took that robe off. He came off of his throne just like that king did, took that robe off and laid over each and every one of us. To think about that. That's the thoughts that went through my mind when he made that Yeshua did that for me. My king, I deserve 40 lashes. But yet he took it. And 40 means death. And he died. He died. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and shall go out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to slaughter and to destroy, and have come that he might possess life, that they might possess life, and that they might possess it beyond measure. Wow. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. But the hireling, the ones who's in it for the money, they could care less about a sheep. So much so that the big multitudes, these big, they don't even have personal relationships with individuals. They don't know your name. The hireling don't know your name. He just want your money. Just come, this right here. Let me get this one. This is a pretty one. Right here. This is what a hireling want. As long as you're doing this for the hireling, oh yeah, he's going to be all for you, or say he's all for you, but he ain't got your best interest. This is best interest. Get this pocket fat. Like that. That's how they want to walk around here. Yeah. Sometimes I tell the guys at work, I'm going to put it back. My brother was watching me. Boy, golly. I'm not the hireling. I don't want to be the hireling. Trust me. Not according to the words of Yeshua, I don't want to be the hireling. But you see, you maybe missed what I was about to say, man. Messed me up. Oh, put the money back. Oh, yes. Thank you, Granny. You know, about the fat pocket, the guys at work always, the Spanish guy always tell me that. You mucho, mucho, mucho. I say, yeah, my pocket fat like that. Every time I'm working overtime, everybody think I make millions of dollars. I mean, I ain't complaining, but it ain't far from a million. Far from it. But anyway, that's what a hireling want. They just want their pockets fat. They can care less if you leave out here and they can care less if you leave out here and go to the barroom on your way up. They could care less. You gave them that money. They don't care what you did, what you do the rest of your day. That's what Yeshua is warning us about. Those hirelings. But the hireling, and not being a shepherd, what do you call him? Hireling? Not being a shepherd. One who does not own the sheep. sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. What? He's more than a hireling. He's a scary cat. you see, that'd be like me walking by, passing by the road, and I see somebody jumping on Brother Rob, two, three people jumping on Brother Rob. Like for no reason, just people do crazy stuff, right? People fight right now for the drop of a hat. And I'm just going to just drive. I'm a hireling. I mean, I'm his pastor. And I'm just going to drive by and say, he'll get him. That's what the hireling going to do. He's just going to drive by. Oh, he gave his tithes. Get him, Brother Rob. Get him, Brother Him. He's just going to drive on by. But that's not what the shepherd does. That's not what David did when his sheep was attacked. Huh? With the bear and the lion. That's a shepherd. But the hireling just going to roll on past by. I know our pastor wouldn't do that. I know that for a fact. I'm living proof. Many times getting beat up. Many times getting beat up. Let me tell you this story. I remember one time working for PMI. First time the drama started hitting in my life, right? And I knew my shepherd knew about it because it was out and about. It was just everywhere in the little parish. Everybody knew. And I'm working nights at PMI, crane operator. And there's this big warehouse we're in, and you know, it's got roll-up doors where the forklift stuff come in and out, all this other stuff. And I punch the card and I go out, walking through the front door, and when I get to this big roll-up door down here, and I look. And I see the brown Astro van. I was getting beat up, but my shepherd came. A shepherd came. Not a hireling. He wasn't a hireling. He was a shepherd. And he did that for each and every one of us in here, day in and day out. Him and Pastor Charlotte, both of them. Because it's not just him. When he's going through something because of us, she's got his back. So yes, we witnessed that. I witnessed that what a good shepherd does. Lays his life down for the sheep. I didn't want to see it, but it was there. The van was there. I had to get in and go. I knew what time of day it was. Now the hireling flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. Not concerned at all, could care less. I am the good shepherd, Yeshua. And I know mine and mine know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Uh-oh, this one right here. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it again.
That's right.
And other sheep, somebody say me.
Me.
Or bat, whatever you want to do. He says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. I have to bring them as well. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's a little song. I don't know how many people I sent it out to. It says just thank you. It's just a song thanking about everything, the air, the wave. And there was one part that says, I thank you for the calling in my chest that never let me rest. Thank you for the calling in my chest that never let me rest. Ooh, but what he says, I have to bring them in as well. Thank you for bringing me in as well. Thank you. I must. And they shall hear my voice. Listen, church, we shall hear his voice. He's given us the opportunity every Shabbat to come willingly and hear his voice. There's going to be a time it ain't going to be willingly. You going to come or else. I don't want to wait to that time. I want to come every Shabbat or every opportunity he gives, every appointed time to come and hear his voice. Why? Because he's leading me as my shepherd, as the one I'm following, as the one I'm obeying. I know his voice. He knows my name. He knows my name. And there should be one flock, one shepherd. There's not going to be no many hundreds of denominations, one flock. And one shepherd. It ain't going to be in all these denominations no more. We're going to have all this, you know, I wonder if it's this one or that one or we right or that right. No, all that's coming to an end. It's coming to an end soon. Soon. Because of this, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to receive it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself, willingly. Willingly. Nobody took it from him. He willingly died. He didn't have to. He chose to. Took them 40 lashes for us. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to receive it again. This command I have received from my Father. Again, there came a division among the Yehudim because of these words, and many of them said, he is a demon. He has a demon. And is mad. Why do you listen to him? Sound familiar? Sounds familiar to me, because I heard it. I heard it from another believer's mouth. Y'all got a demon over there. What? Really? You sure? Well, that goes, this right here, look. We ain't got to argue and fight or prove who's right or who's wrong. Right here. The same thing. Yeshua dealt with the same thing we heard. If you haven't heard it, it was said. It was said. Guarantee you. Not making this up. It was said. But notice what they said about Yeshua. I'm going to follow him then. If he's got a demon, I want to say whatever he's got, that's what I want. Same thing. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others say, these are not the words of one possessed by a demon. Is a demon able to open the eyes of the blind? At this time, Hanukkah came to be in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Yeshua was walking in a set-apart place in the porch of Shaloma. So the Yehudim surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, say to us plainly. Yeshua answered them, I have told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness concerning me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. And I say to you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. They follow me. You want to gauge somebody who's following Yeshua? You're going to do what he's doing. You're going to say what he say. You're going to eat what he eat. You're going to worship how he worship. Simple. You're going to say the exact same words he said. Nothing no different. Why? Because that's what he said. He said, this is how you can tell somebody who's a follower of Christ, a Christian. Right here. Yeshua said it plainly. They follow me. Oh, so simple, man. When you just slow down, just let the scripture say what the scripture say, man. Just you adapt to it. Stop trying to make the scripture adapt to you. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. And I say to you, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them what? Everlasting life. Boy, what a trade off. Huh? Just follow me. Just talk like I talk. Eat what I eat. Do what I do. And I give you eternal life. Man, you talking about, there's nothing to way out. It really ain't. But our mind, that mind goes, the enemy gets you doing crazy stuff, man. But stay in the word, stay in the word, stay wanting the esh, stay wanting the fire, stay wanting his presence in your midst. And they shall by no means ever perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Wait, what? No one. Does that mean Hasatan? Yes. No one. No one can snatch you out of his hand. The only way that someone can get to you, if you get out of his hand. That's right. And you can get out of his hand. Right. You can so easily. So easily we can get out the hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Boy, what? I and my Father are one. Again, the Yehudim picked up stones to stone him. Yeshua answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father, because of which of these works do you stone me? The Yehudim answered him, saying, we do not stone you for a good work, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself Elohim. Yeshua answered them, it is not written in your own Torah. I said, you are Elohim. If he called them Elohim, to whom the word of Elohim came, and it is possible for the scripture to be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father set apart and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of Elohim? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. If I'm not doing the works of my Father, then don't believe me. Then go somewhere else. Simple. But I'm doing the works of my Father. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works so that you know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. If you don't believe me, just believe what I'm doing. Just believe the works. Watch the miracles. Believe that. Because if you believe that, you're going to have a... we just went through it. Who was the... It's going to come to me. Let me keep reading. I'll get back to it. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works so that you know, believe the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, but he went forth out of their hand. Why? Because he was in his Father's hand. They couldn't snatch him out of his Father's hand. He just told us that a little while ago. He was included in that. And went out more to the other side of the yard and to the place where Yohanan was immersing at first, and there he stayed. And many came to him and said, Yohanan indeed did no sign, yet all that Yohanan said about this man was true, and many believed in him. Many believed in him there. So powerful, that John 10. You want to follow somebody? That's who we want to follow, our good shepherd, who has our best interest in mind. Our good shepherd has our best interest in mind. He's not doing it for the hire, to be hired. It's never about the hire for him. It was about the souls. It was about life. That's what it was about for him, about life. And what it should be for us, the same thing, about life. So I just want to read that because Pastor mentioned it. And I think he might have read one or two scriptures of it. But I went back and read that whole chapter. I'm like, man, I want to read that to start. My good shepherd, man. This is who I'm following. And that's who we should be acting like.
That's right.
We should be acting like him. We should be, you know, when somebody's hurting, we should hurt. Mm-hmm. It's a good shepherd. That's what he does. When somebody needs something, we should be right up on it to help somebody. That's what Yeshua did. He was right there all the time. So we'll go ahead and get started with our Torah portion, which is Exodus chapter 3. Pastor did a wonderful job on verse 1. That's the first we got, was verse 1 last Saturday. But it was to open up the door to where we can start talking about the fire and his presence. Why? Because we got to know who that good shepherd is. Because verse 1 says Moshe was shepherding. So we want to know what all involves in this shepherding, what it takes. And we see for our master Yeshua, it took his life to be our shepherd. It cost him his life. So I want to read the Torah portion, then we'll jump up. We're going to talk about the messenger of Yehovah. Verse 2 is where we're going to really sit and camp out. But I'll go ahead and read the Torah, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. And Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yitro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. And the messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moshe said, "Let me turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." And Yehovah saw that he turned aside to see, and Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moshe, Moshe." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place of which you are standing is set apart ground. And he said, "I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, the Elohim of Yaakov." And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look at Elohim. And Yehovah said, "I have indeed seen the oppression of my people who are in Mizraim, and have heard their cry because of their slave drivers, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Mizraites, and to bring them up from the land to go and to go from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites. And now see, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Mishrites oppressed them. And now come, I am ascending you to Pharaoh. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Mishraim. And Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mishraim? You know, and that who am I mentioned, kind of made reference to a couple of Shabbats ago when I first brought it out. You know, you feel like that. Who am I? Who am I? Then Sister Lloyd sent me an old school song. It's about Who Am I is the title of it. And there's a part of it that says, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I? Who am I that he would pray, not mine will, but thine, Lord? This song is so, it's old because I never heard it. You know how you can tell it's real? Because it's, what's that, it's got like a guitar, but it's got that.
Like a banjo?
No. Like a. Steel guitar. Got that. It's old. Like, yeah, it was that old. But the word, it's that old. But I can remember that as a young kid. I seen somebody playing that somewhere. I think it might have been at the Bayou Church. I just can't remember where at. But it's like he was playing it, the guitar, like you lay it flat on your lap. And then there's a little iron thing that you just rub on. I can remember that's what that type of music when he was playing. I just brought that to my memory. But that just those words, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Then it goes to a part that it says, because of the old rugged cross, because of who you are, or because of who am I. Something like, it's a beautiful song. I mean, it's old, but it's beautiful. Beautiful. I was so glad she sent it to me. It was very uplifting. All right, where we stopped at? Oh, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mishraim? And he said, because I am with you. And this is to you the sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Mishraim, you are to serve Elohim on this mountain. And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say to them? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And Elohim said further to Moshe, thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yehovah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my remembrance to all generations. Remembrance to all generations. We still living. And we're going to be, they're going to be many living after us. All generations never shouldn't stop. We should keep preaching this to the end. Go and you shall gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yehovah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Yaakov, appeared to me saying, I have indeed visited you and seen what is done to you in Mishraim. And I say, I am bringing you out of the affliction of Mishraim to the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite, the Perizzite and the Hittite and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall listen to your voice, and you shall come, and the elders of Israel, to the sovereign of Mishraim, and you shall say to him, Yehovah Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. And now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to slaughter to Yehovah Elohim. But I know that the sovereign of Mishraim is not going to let you go, not even by a strong hand. And I shall stretch out my hand and strike Mishraim with all my wonders, which I shall do in his midst. And after that, he shall let you go. And I shall give this people favor in the eyes of the Mishraites. And it shall be that when you go, you shall not go empty handed. But every woman shall ask from her neighbor and from her who sojourns in her house objects of silver and objects of gold and garments. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters and shall plunder the Mishraites. Now let's just back up. We're going to talk about verse 2. But notice here in this chapter 3, there's a lot that's happening. And for the first time, Elohim is speaking in years, which verbally, I mean, he was definitely in the midst of all their troubles that they was going through in Egypt, all the oppressions that they was going through. He didn't. It was quiet to them. It's like, did he forget about us in the wilderness? Did he forget about us? But the wilderness, it was the classroom for Moshe. When he brought Moshe in that wilderness, it was his classroom, because he's got to teach you some stuff. The wilderness for us, he's got to teach you some stuff. Let it become our classroom. Don't be so, oh man, you know, down and out like where he's at. He's there. He's in our midst. When Elohim revealed his name, he reveals his character, his covenant, his presence, and his purpose. The fire is not merely around the bush. The bush is carrying the fire without being consumed. Think about that. That bush is carrying the fire without being consumed. Moses thought he was leading sheep into the wilderness. Elohim was leading Moshe into an encounter with destiny. He thought he was being just going through the wilderness. All of he was being set up. He was being set up because he had a destiny. What about our destiny? What does our destiny look like? Do we have a wilderness that we got to go through in order to get to that destiny? Yeah. Yes, we do. So we're going to talk about five dimensions of this fire. Let me read that verse 2 to you again. And the messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Five dimensions of fire. Number one, fire equals presence. Exodus 3, 2 through 4, Exodus 13, 21, and Exodus 19, 18. Number two, fire equals holiness. Do not come near. Exodus 3, 5, Leviticus 10, 3, and Deuteronomy 4, 24. If I'm saying these too fast, we're going to go back and read each and every one of them. Fire, number three, fire equals judgment. Everything contrary to holiness will be dealt with. Everything contrary, that's opposite of what the scripture is saying, will be dealt with. None of us is going to escape judgment. None of us. We will be judged for the life we live, our good days and our bad days. And that's Genesis 19:24, Deuteronomy 9:3, the judgment, and Isaiah 66:15. Fire, number four, fire equals purification. Isaiah 6:6-7, Zechariah 13:9, and Malachi 3:2. In verse 2 and 3. And number 5, fire equals revelation. Exodus 3, 3, Psalms 119, 105, and Psalms 119, 130, verse 130. Notice, and the messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from in the midst of the bush. Notice what that wording, from the midst. And that's a Hebrew expression. It meaning from within, out of the mist. So what Moses sees, Moses sees a bush surrounded by fire. Think about it. Ordinary day, he's walking, leading the sheep, and all of a sudden he sees this bush on fire, surrounded by fire, it says. He's seeing something burning from within. The messenger of Yehovah appeared. And that is Strong's H4397, and that's the Malach, meaning messenger, representative, or one sent with a message. You know, today I'm acting as a Malach, a messenger. When he gets up here in a couple hours, he's a messenger, he's a Malach. Bringing forth his word. Listen, so if you think for some reason that we don't need him in our midst when we bring forth this message, we got to be kidding ourselves. That's right. Man, you want his presence when you bring it forth, when you speaking about him. That's why it's so important. That title that he gave the burning bush and the name revealed, That's powerful. You want to know that. You want to know his name because you want to speak of him correctly. You don't want to just think blabber stuff when you get up here. We can do that. We can make all kind of noises. But we want to represent him correctly. I do. And I know everyone in here do. And look, not only here, but outside. That's the most important. Look, because it's kind of easy to represent him correctly when we're in here. Out there is the challenge. Out there when somebody's working on your nerve. Out there when somebody could just easily say the wrong thing. No matter after you done told somebody do this way, huh, Brother Chad? Cast over here. Cast over there. But yet they casting right there by the trolling motor. Huh? When you do that over and over and over, that's when you gotta be representing him well. This is easy coming in here and do this. And that world's the difficult spot.
Yes, sir.
The world. When you got another crane operator, not you, my brother, that just gets on your last nerve every day. I'm not even lying, y'all. Every day. I'm like lost for words. I'm like, how, bro? How can you hate me so much? What did I do? That's when you got to represent him well. Hmm? That's when Yeshua represented him well. When Judas betrayed him, knew he was going to betray him. When he knew Peter was going to deny him three times. But yet what he did, he still humbled himself and washed their feet. Every last one of them. You talking about representing the Father well? Yeah, that's the jungle. The wilderness is out there. This is right. We on the mountaintop up in here. We can sing hallelujah. We praising him. We're amongst our people. When you're amongst the other people. What Yeshua said, those that are not of the fold, I must bring them in too. That's the kind of mindset we got to have, man. It's the kind of mindset. Yeah, this was preaching to Josh all week long, boy. Because, whew, this gets on you. Especially when you're dealing with Deweys. Ooh, okay, the Melech is not primarily about what the being looks like. Is the being that's being sent with authority and a message. Moshe does not initially see Yehovah describing simply as sitting in heaven and speaking to him. That's not what he's seen when he's seen that bush. He encounters the messenger of Yehovah. In doing that, we see there's a biblical pattern that we can connect this to, a reoccurring biblical pattern that the messenger of Yehovah speaks with divine authority. We see it a few times in the scripture. I'm going to give you some. The messenger of Yehovah encounters Hagar, Genesis 16, 7 through 13. The messenger of Yehovah speaks to Abraham. Genesis 22, 11 through 18. The messenger of Yehovah appears to Gideon. Judges 6, 11 through 24. This is a question, write this down. Why would the Holy One reveal himself to Moshe through a messenger in the wilderness? Why? Think about that. Why would he? Because Moshe is about to learn a principle. He's about to learn. Before Moshe can become the messenger of deliverance, and before any one of us in this building can become the messenger of deliverance, we must first learn what it means to encounter the one who sends. We must have that encounter before we can go proclaiming stuff, have an encounter with him. Seek to have an encounter with him. Moshe had to learn that he had to have an encounter before. He was before being sent. He had to know who the one that says, I am that I am. He had to know that personally. He had to have an encounter with that. He had to have his Kairos moment. That's what that burning bush was. That was Moshe's Kairos moment. You know, every Shabbat we get a Kairos moment. Every Shabbat. And how do we take that? Do we just, as just, you know, just a regular church service? No, this is a Kairos moment. This is an appointed time. This is fixed. Every Saturday he fixed this for us. Every Friday night, if you want to start, it's when it starts. It's those kairos moments, man. You don't want to miss. These little things get on you. The more you think about it, and he's good, man. Number two, in a flame of fire. And that is levat and esh. Well, in the flame is levat. And the fire is the esh. And levat is H3852. And the esh is H784, which Brother Rob pointed out to us last night. And the esh, it equals fire. But levat carries the idea of a flame, a blaze, or tongues of fire. And we've seen that in Acts 2. Tongues of fire. There was just no ordinary fire that Moshe stopped and turned and seen and looked. That wasn't no ordinary fire. It wasn't just so, you know, a campfire that we built out in the yard. It didn't look like that. And, you know, I kind of thought about that a little bit because, you know, we can make them fly, the fires turn beautiful little colors with these little package thing you can throw up in there. I wonder if that's the kind of flame, you know, because we like, wow, look how pretty. You know, it's all different colors. I wonder what Moshe must have seen, what that must have looked, because it caught his attention. It caught his attention, made him stop to look, because he knew it wasn't just no ordinary fire. What this fire represents, something living, active, and consuming. Yet the object within it is preserved. Think about that. Living, acting, and active, and consuming. And we need that same fire every single day of our life. It's got to be living. It's got to be active. And it's got to be consuming. Why consuming? Because it's that fire inside his presence. It's got to eat up all the impurities that you deal with on a daily basis. Every day. Every day, something, whether it's a thought, a word that come out your mouth, needs to be cleared up. Needs to be burnt up. Active, consuming. We need that. We need it active and consuming in our lives. Number three. From the midst, part three of this chapter, verse two, from the midst of the bush, and that is the Tavek, and that is H8432, meaning mist, middle, inner part, among. God's revelations, Elohim's revelations, comes from the mist, comes from within. You want revelation, comes from within. And we'll see through Scripture how Elohim repeatedly chose to reveal his presence in the middle of something. Repeatedly chose to in the middle of something to reveal his presence. In the midst of the bush, in Exodus 3. In the midst of Israel, Exodus 25:8. In the midst of the camp, Numbers 5:3. In the midst of his people. Ultimately, Messiah dwelling among humanity, John 1:14. Think about that. The fire himself was dwelling among humanity. What a day that's going to be when the fire himself is going to be dwelling again among humanity. One, as one though, remember, one flock, one flock. In Exodus 25:8, it says, and they shall make a set apart place, and I shall dwell in their midst. And they shall make a set apart place, and I shall dwell in their midst. And I shall dwell. Not I might. No, that's a promise. He promised he's going to be there in our midst. Why a bush? Strong's H5572 is Sene, meaning bush or thorn bush. This is one of the fascinating details of this passage. Jehovah could have appeared in anything but just an old regular bush. Why didn't you use like a big nice cedar or a big pine tree or a big oak tree? Why just a little bitty old bush? This is going to help somebody. Write this down. He's not looking for nothing impressive. We look for that. Why us? We saying, why he want to use me? It ain't your charisma, your looks that he's looking for. You ain't got to try to do to yourself all up. No, he wants you raggedy. He wants you looking rough. Why? Because then only him can get the glory when he straightens your life up. Nobody else. Nobody else. Only him. This image fits Exodus beautifully. Why? What? Because Israel is in the fire. And that, just in Exodus 2, they was in the fire. But they wasn't consumed. They was in the midst of the fire. That alone tells how much of the presence of Yehovah was in them for all those years, was in their midst. Because they couldn't break them. They couldn't destroy them. Pharaoh was trying so hard to destroy them. But he couldn't. Why? Because little did they know Elohim was right in their midst and he couldn't be consumed. Israel couldn't hurt them. No matter what Pharaoh couldn't hurt them. Pharaoh's oppression is real. Suffering's real. Fire's real. But Elohim's covenant prevents the fire from having the final word. Listen, what we go through is real. Life is real. Life is a struggle. It ain't peachy and creamy. Life is a battlefield. Nothing. Sometimes it feels like nothing goes as planned. But Elohim prevents the fire from having the final word in our life. Elohim prevents it. Nobody else. No matter, we can't do it. No matter what we do or how hard we try, we cannot do it. It takes him and only him. The bush was not consumed. Fire normally consumes, right? You set something on fire, it burns it up like that. Well, if it's dry, it burns it up like that, quick, fast, and in a hurry. But that's what fire is meant to do, right? It's meant to consume stuff, to just destroy it. But here at this bush, fire is present without destruction. Fire is all around this bush, but it's not destroying it. Think about that. Why? Because Elohim. Why did Israel survive? Because the presence of Elohim is greater than the fire surrounding them. And you can take this, you can look at all the covenant promises he's made from day one with Abraham. And he doesn't break covenant at all. You see in that Genesis 15, he told Abraham, I shall certainly bring your seed out. In Genesis 15, what seed is he talking about? What seed? Exodus. This Exodus 3. I shall certainly bring them out of the hand of Pharaoh. The bush is burning. Israel is suffering. But Israel is not finished. You might be suffering. Your bush might be burning. But we are not finished. You are not finished. You have we have a destination. We're working towards that destination. We're not finished no matter what's going on around us. Listen, we're in it. You can be in it. I ain't going to say we're in it. You might be in it. You might just be going through it. Like every time you turned around and looked like it was just something else was happening. Something else is happening, but we're not finished. Yehovah is not finished with us yet. Fire represents divine presence. Number one, remember? The fire is Exodus 3, 2 through 4. The fire is the manifestation of Elohim's presence. Moses seeing the bush, he sees the bush, he sees the fire, but he hears the voice and he hears the calling. The fire gets his attention. But it was the voice that gives the fire meaning. Hallelujah. The voice, his voice is what gives the fire meaning. Listen, so make sure that you're hearing his voice, because you can have a fire stir up inside you and do some bad stuff, some wrong stuff. Moshe, we seen Moshe did it in Exodus chapter 2. He had the fire. Yehovah was moving on him, but he jumped the gun. He did it way out of character. Way out of character. But it's the fire that is it's the voice. It's Elohim's voice that gives the fire the meaning. We can have all the fire we want in our life or claim it. But if we ain't listening to his voice, it has no meaning. None whatsoever. Scripture repeatedly associates fire with the manifest presence of Elohim. Exodus 13, 21. And Yehovah went before them by a day in a column of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a column of fire to give them light. What he's saying? I am with you. I am with you. You know, we have that same, spiritually, we have that same cloud and fire leading us. Every day, spiritually, we have it. And we don't know how bad we need it till we need it. Because there's some days I'm praying for rain clouds because that fire is so hot out there. And that crane gets so hot with no AC, it's miserable. But you want that cloud. You want that cloud. When you're feeling that fire spiritually, you want that cloud. You want that voice. Israel doesn't simply have a destination. Israel, they don't just simply have a destination. We don't simply just have a destination. We have the presence that's leading them toward the destination. That's the difference. Listen, we got a destination. We're going somewhere. But what good is it if his presence ain't leading me? No, it's not no good at all. Why? Because I can get off track. I can miss my destination. I can get sidetracked. Remember, Pastor talks about this all the time, that set and drift when you on a long run. Same difference here. Same difference. We got to have that presence leading us. His presence leading us. You want that. You don't want to go nowhere without that presence at all, man. It's miserable. Exodus 19, verse 18. And Mount Sinai was in smoke, all of it, because Yehovah descended upon it in fire. The mountain becomes a meeting place between heaven and earth. Talking about the fire, right? Deuteronomy 4, 24. For Yehovah, your Elohim, is a consuming fire, a jealous El. What? Elohim? I thought he's all loving, all, you know, kind and hunky-dory. No, he's jealous. Why? Because he don't want you loving on nobody else. He don't want you trusting in nobody else. He don't want to. He doesn't want you asking anybody else for guidance. It's like a husband and a wife. How dare my wife go outside of me and ask somebody else, like, for help? You know, let me see how I want to rephrase that. That probably didn't come out too right. But I'm a jealous. A husband is a jealous man. Look, if I'm here, don't go ask somebody to come change the doorknob. You think your husband is going to just be all okay? Oh, yeah, let him do it. No, I'm going to get jealous. I'm going to be honest. Why are you asking another man or somebody else to come change your doorknob when your husband is right there? That's trying to relate to how God is. Don't ask nobody else for advice. He wants us to ask him for advice. He's jealous. Don't go praying to nobody else. Don't go singing Kumbaya, my Lord, to nobody else. No, give him the glory and honor. Seek him first. Seek his presence. Seek his words. That's the jealous. That's why he's jealous. That's what makes him jealous. The bush teaches Moshe, before I send you to bring my people out of Egypt, I must first teach you what my presence is like. So before I'm going to send you to bring my people out of Egypt, I must first teach you what my presence is like. Before any one of us think we can go outside of here and start telling people, teaching people about Yeshua and about Yehovah, we better make sure that we felt that presence. Make sure we know what we're talking about before we go to spreading rumors about him or about what we think. What this word says is what matters. So he had to teach Moshe what his presence was like. Yeah, you're not just going to go lead anybody out of nowhere without knowing who the source is, where your power come from, where your strength come from, where your words come from. Moses will eventually stand before Pharaoh, but before Moses can stand before Pharaoh's throne, he must first stand before Elohim's fire. Before he can go to Pharaoh, he must first stand before Elohim's fire. Why? Because if you survive Elohim's fire, what can man do to you? Nothing. At all. If you survive Elohim's fire, you're good to go. You on the right path. You on your right destination. Number two, fire represents holiness. Exodus 3:5, and he said, "Do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is set apart ground." Do not come here. Why did Yehovah say that to him? Because he has boundaries. That fire sets out boundaries. We can't just come to him any kind of way we want. Even especially on today, days like today. Do we just come in here, you know, as, you know, is this not holy? Is this not his holy place? Is this ground not holy? Yeah, why? Because his presence is what makes this ground holy. And for us to think that we can just come in here without his presence being here every Shabbat, man, we fooling ourselves. We want his presence here every Shabbat. Thankful for his presence every Shabbat. But don't come casually. Don't come just, you know, strolling in like, you know, whatever you want to do. Wear whatever you want to wear. Come in through the doors. So what if I miss worship? No, it shouldn't be that kind of attitude at all. Why? Because he has boundaries. Listen to what he said. Do not come near. His presence is holy. The Hebrew word for holy or set apart is Kodesh. Strong's H6944. We want a lot of things from him. We want him to move mightily. You know, when we're sick, when we're hurting, when bills are due, when cars broke, when trucks broke. We want. But yet we want to just think we can come to him like his presence or his holiness is just, you know, an everyday thing. No, it's not. We want calling without consecration. Authority without reverence, and assignment without intimacy. That's what we want. We want all those things without having his things attached to it. You can't have an assignment without intimacy. If he's going to assign, you got to know the one that's sending you or assigning you to something. You want to have a relationship with him. You want that friend. You want that good friend. In other words, before you go represent Elohim, learn who you are standing before. Before we go representing him, learn who we're standing before. It carries the idea of being set apart, sacred, consecrated. Moses doesn't encounter fire and simply walk casually into it. The fire teaches him presence requires reverence. His presence requires. I'm going to say it again. His presence requires reverence. You must give him the most respect of all things. Anything we do, he must have the most respect because his presence requires it. He demands it. He demands reverence. Leviticus 10, you say, well, where it says that at? Leviticus 10:1-3. Nadab and Abihu. We all know the little story about them. Bringing unauthorized fire before Yehovah. And what Moses says to them in that 10:1-3, it says, "I am set apart among those who come near me. This gives an important Hebraic principle. The closer you come to the presence, the greater the call to holiness. The closer you come to his presence, the greater the call to holiness. Because listen, we can't walk in his presence. It's mentioned to us, you can't get in his presence and walk out the same way you walked in. No way. Impossible. Well, it shouldn't happen, because you could be in his presence and still decide. Because you got a choice at the end of the day. You had a choice to yield to that presence or just totally disregard it. Don't say, well, that can't happen. Yeah, it can happen. Absolutely. It has happened. It has happened. But the closer you come to his presence, the greater the call to holiness. The bush wasn't common anymore because the presence had entered the ordinary. A little ordinary bush, his presence made it extraordinary. So much so that Moshe stopped. Can we picture that? He's gone along his business, doing his work, leading sheep, hundreds of sheep, taking them from one spot to another, maybe thousands. I don't know how many sheep he had. He had plenty. He was a shepherd. But that made him stop, because that ordinary was extraordinary, something different. It wasn't just a no regular bush burning, consumed, being consumed. It was an extraordinary. Number three, the fire represents judgment. Fire can also represent Elohim's righteous judgment. Genesis 19, 24, we've seen that with Sodom and Gomorrah, his righteous judgment. Deuteronomy 9, 3, Moses reminds Israel, know today that Deuteronomy 9, 3, know today that Yehovah your Elohim is he who passes over before you as a consuming fire. Isaiah 66, 15, For look, Yehovah comes with fire. Fire, therefore, has two sides. It represents presence and judgment. Why? Because the Holy One comes near, everything contrary to his holiness is exposed. Everything is exposed. Nothing you can hide. You can't hide. We might can hide for a little while amongst ourselves, but it's going to come out. Always will. Always does. But what he says, because when the Holy One comes near you, everything contrary to his holiness is exposed. It's going to be exposed. When he moves in, he's going to expose everything that's not in line with his word. And if you don't believe me, try him. But believe me, because I have. I'm not talking from somebody who doesn't know firsthand experience. Yeah, I'm talking from experience. The same fire that gives light to the righteous can become judgment against rebellion. The issue isn't simply the fire. The issue is what the fire encounters. That's the issue. Whatever it encounters, it's going to burn it up if it's not in line aligned with his word. So look, when we pray for, oh, yeah, I want your fire. I want your presence. Listen, be ready. Be ready. Because when it comes with judgment. It comes with judgment. If you asking for it, it comes with stuff attached to it. His stuff. His good stuff. But when that encounter's happening, the stuff that's the flawed stuff inside you, it burns it up. Number four, fire represents purification. Malachi 3, 2 and 3. And that is just one of the most beautiful connections to the burning bush. Let's read that. Malachi 3, chapter 3. Let me get to that.
Did I pass it?
Malachi chapter 3, verses. Let's start with verse 1. See, I am sending my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the master you are seeking comes to his hakel, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. See, he is coming, said Yehovah of hosts. And who is able to bear the day of his coming? And who is able to stand when he appears? What? That wait? Remember? Pastor touched on this last week about how heavy his weight is. Listen what he's saying. Who is able to stand when he appears? When his presence appears, when his weight appears, who can stand? Who can stand? What is he saying? If his presence is in here like we're saying or we wanting, we all be lay out on the floor, crying, head and face in the carpet. Why? That's what he says. When his presence appears, how can you can't even stand? What he told Moshe? Moshe was begging, show me your glory. Let me see your face. He said, you have to see me from behind. Because if I show you my face, you're going to die. You're not ready, Moshe. You're not ready to see that just yet. But think about this. One day when we get to see that face to face, one day when our body's going to be changed from mortal to immortal, that's the only way you're going to see his glory or see him face to face. You have to be immortal. The flesh can't dwell. Flesh can't dwell. Think about that. Let me finish reading. You say you want that? You say, man, I want to witness. I want to feel that type of, yeah, we should. We should want to feel that at least one time in our life to where we can't get up off the carpet. I never had that moment yet, to be honest. I never, but I've been praying for it since it's been brought to my attention. I want to feel that. I want to feel him because I want to speak right about it. I want to know him personally. He says, who is able to stand when he appears? For he is like the fire of a refiner and like the soap of a launderer. And he shall sit as a refiner and a cleanser of silver. And he shall cleanse the son of Levi and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall belong to Yehovah, bringing near an offspring in righteousness. So what his presence does, it humbles you. My thing messed up. Purifies you. That's what we were talking about. Fire represents purification. The coming of the messenger is compared to a refiner's fire, and the work of the refiner is to purify silver. Fire doesn't merely destroy. Fire can separate the precious from the impurities. That's what this fire does. It separates the precious from the impurities. It cleans out all your imperfections. Zechariah 13:9, and I shall bring the third through the fire and refine them as silver is refined. The fire becomes a testing and refining process. Isaiah 6:6-7, Isaiah sees the holiness of Elohim and recognizes his uncleanness. Then a coal from the altar touches his lips. The fire becomes connecting to cleansing. And immediately after cleansing comes commissioning. So once he clears you, once he cleanses you, get ready. Because he's sending you. It's what we asked for. He's commissioning. What should we say? Here I am. Here I am. Send me. Once he's finished doing all what he needs to do inside you, all he wants to say is, all he wants to hear is, here I am. Send me. Hene, send me. When's the last time we told him that? Here I am. Send me. First, Moses encounters the fire. Then Moses hears the voice. Then the pattern. Then Moses receives his assignment. There's a pattern: presence, holiness, purification, and commissioning. And number five, the fire represents revelation. The bush is burning, but Moses doesn't intentionally understand what he's seeing. And he says in verse 3, and Moshe said, let me now turn aside and see this great sight. Why? The bush does not burn. The fire is what make Moses stop and turn and see and look. The Hebrew idea behind see Israel, to see, perceive, or understand, and that's Strong's H7200. Moses sees something physically, but Elohim is about to reveal something spiritually. Moses seen a physical sight. He didn't quite get the whole manifestation or what was about to happen to him from that bush. But Yehovah knew what he was about to do. He knew what he was about to perform. And he knew what he was about to reveal. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Fire and light reveals what otherwise cannot be seen. Fire and light reveals what otherwise cannot be seen. It's just like when he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's like a light in the dark. You ever walked around in the dark? Papa did one time in his own house and bumped his head. Something he lived in for years. But it just goes to show you darkness. Darkness can make your mind play tricks on you. It can make you believe something is there that's not even there. That's what darkness does. That's what the enemy does. That's why he is total darkness. He makes you believe. He makes you think of something that's there that's not even there. That's what the enemy does. But what he says right here in 119, my word. You want light? You want a lamp? You want a light? Get in my word. Get in my word. Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. The fire, therefore, becomes an invitation. An invitation. Turn aside. Look again. There's more here than what your natural eyes first perceive. Now look at the bush itself. Here is where the Hebraic Midrash becomes specifically powerful. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. The Hebrew verb for consume or burned up is related to ba'ar, and that is Strong's H1197, meaning to burn, consume, kindle. The fire is burning, but the bush survives. Think about that. The fire is burning, but the bush survives. Why? The bush, the weak thing carrying the fire. The weak, and what are we? We're weak. We're no different than from the bush. We're weak. But can we carry his fire? Absolutely, we can. We can carry it, but we got to carry it. Can't carry it the way we want to carry it. We have to carry the fire how he describes, how he tells us how to carry it, how to handle it. Because you can handle it, you can handle the fire and do totally wrong. Moshe did it. He had the fire that was stirring up inside, but he handled it wrong. That's why he had to come to his wilderness, where he had to get in the classroom, get to be taught, trained. Notice, the bush is not this big old mighty cedar or oak tree. It's just a bush. It's not a palace. It's not a mountain. It's an ordinary, thorny wilderness shrub, just a bush. But yet, what's the key factor? What is the driving? What is the flame behind it? Elohim is in it. Elohim's in the fire. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Paul tells us, Shaul tells us, choose to choose Elohim choose, says Elohim chooses the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Wait, I'm gonna read that one more time. Because that's me and you. We the weak things. And what he says, Shaul says, Elohim chooses the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that which are mighty. The pattern is ordinary vessel plus extraordinary presence. Ordinary vessel, and that's, I'm just a, who am I? An ordinary vessel. Who are you? An ordinary vessel. A weak one at that. Let's not forget, we're weak. But it's him that makes us strong. It is in him when we are strong. We weak, just like this bush. Moses himself will become another example. He feels inadequate. Remember, he go to stuttering and you go to telling all your whys and your cans and hows and, you know, I'm not fit and I can't this or I can't that. And he, every excuse we give him, Moses gave him. No different. He feels inadequate. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? But Elohim's answer is essential. I will be with you. No matter how weak you feel, no matter how you, your words sometimes don't come out, you fumble to try to find the, because you want to find, you always want to try to find, you know, you want to make it sound so pretty, you know, so, I don't know, sweet to people's ears or whatever you want to, however you want to say it, but just read the word. Let the word say what the word says. But you might, we feel that. We feel like we're not, who am I to go? Who am I? And then he says, I will be with you. Moses asks, who am I? Elohim answers with, I will be. This is a heart of the, this is the heart of the passage. The power isn't the bush. The power is in the fire. It ain't nothing to do with the bush. It was all about his presence and all about him. And let me see where I'm going to stop at, because Sister Randy gave my card minutes ago. The fire, we'll end right here. The fire did not consume the bush, it revealed the bush. This may be the central teaching point. The fire didn't destroy the bush. The fire revealed what the bush was carrying. Before the fire, just the bush. After the fire, a meeting place. Before the presence, ordinary ground. After the presence, set apart ground. Before the voice, Moses was tending sheep. After the voice, Moses was being prepared to confront Pharaoh. And perhaps the question for us is, what happens when the fire of Elohim enters something ordinary? It doesn't necessarily make the vessel impressive. You're not impressive when the fire enters you. It makes the presence visible. That's what the fire does. It makes Yehovah's presence visible in your life. And that's our goal. That everywhere we go, no matter who we talk to or who we encounter, that they should see the presence of Elohim in our working, live, active in our life. That's the goal. That's the path. You want a path for him to lay down? Let his presence be wherever you go and wherever you at, no matter what state you in or what arena you in, let them see his presence visible in your life. Amen. So good to us. Wow, I tell you, the more we slow down and dig into this stuff, the bigger and bigger it gets. It's like, when is it going to end? Like, when are we going to get to the next chapter? Or when are we going to get to the next book? That's how you feel, but it's so powerful. This Exodus 3 is, this is where we want to really drive home and get this implemented in our life, how without his fire and without his presence in our midst, mean nothing. The essential thing is his presence and his fire in the midst of our lives. And that people see that. And because look, people, they looking. They are, I don't need a new CD. They are looking. It's the first time I got the new CD car. They're looking. They want to see. They want to see how you're going to act in difficulties. They want to see how you're going to act or how you're going to talk when you're in the fire. Because if they're in the fire, you're in the fire, and Elohim is not in our midst, and he's for sure not in their midst, what are we doing? We're losing. That's what we're doing. We're losing. So my goal is to every day to try to find that time to spend with him before I go out in that field. Because I want his, I don't want to mistalk about him. I don't want to misrepresent him. And I want people to see his fire, his presence. I want it to be visible in my life. Visible. Amen. He's good to us. Let's stand.
Hallelujah.